This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Well, I'm excited about our guest today, Dr. Matt Webb, who's the Director of Athletics at Houghton College. Matt was named Director of Athletics in the summer of 2018 after previously serving as Associate Director of Athletics and Men's Soccer Coach. He provides strategic leadership for athletics and intramural sports and oversees the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, which sponsors 18 sports. During his 15 years as head coach, Matt led the Highlanders to 11 postseason appearances, including two NCCAA national tournaments, and led his teams on five international sports ministry trips. He holds a master's in higher education from Alfred University and a doctorate in organizational leadership from Regent University. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Matt. Well, hey, Matt, welcome to King Chasing. How are you doing today? How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm great. How's winter in Houghton, New York treating you?
Winter is here. I'm looking outside my window. We've got a little bit of snow. It was cold yesterday. We were down close to 0 degrees yesterday. Starting to warm up again into the high 20s. So that's where we're at. So
no thanks.
Probably a little colder than where you're at down in Greenville.
For sure. Now, you were named Director of Athletics in 2018 after 15 years as the head men's soccer coach. How was that transition as you kind of moved from leading young men, student athletes, to now you're leading a full-time staff of coaches?
Yeah, I mean, other than after 1 year of doing that, or not even a full, you know, COVID hit. So COVID has monopolized a lot of what we do, but I think it's been really good. I found myself in my career. I'd coached for a number of years. I was obviously head coaching for 15 years, but I'd been an assistant coach for 11 years prior to that. So I'd been coaching quite a while and had been feeling sort of a tug to move into an administrative role to sort of finish out my career. So when the opportunity presented itself, it was just a real natural time to make that move. So yeah, I mean, leading 18 to 22 year old men versus leading professional staff, men and women of multiple ages and stages of life is definitely different. But that's my new team. You know, I always used to say my team of where I'm going to invest and lead is those guys, and my role as a mentor, as a leader for them probably looked very different than it does for those that I'm leading now. But I've really enjoyed the transition to working with coaches, and we've got some young coaches, we've got some experienced coaches on our staff. So that's been exciting. That's been a lot of fun to sort of groom and mentor some of our younger coaches and come alongside some of our more experienced coaches and staff and administrators as well. So it's been good. I definitely miss the interaction with the players. You know, my office looks right out over the stadium, over our field. And there are days where I'm sitting in front of my computer on spreadsheets and, you know, whatever. And I look out the window and the team's out there in 70 degree weather. It's nice and sunny and they're playing soccer. And I miss that. I miss the interaction with the guys. The excitement of game day, you know, for a coach is something pretty special. And I miss that. But boy, I find myself getting real excited for my coaches as they're getting into game day and watching them coach and celebrating with them, you know, in successes and coming alongside them, you know, in defeat.
Sure.
So, no, I've enjoyed the transition. There's definitely different and new challenges, but it's been good.
So as Director of Athletics, I'm curious, how do you define a successful year for your athletics program? You know, it's obviously different. When you're a coach, it's a little bit easier to define it. Typically, you would define it by something like tangible, like wins and losses. But as a director of athletics, what does success look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. That's a complex question. I think folks in a non-Christian environment, maybe even particularly at a higher level, that the answer to that question might be 100% defined by wins and losses. And obviously there's more to winning and losing, but that has to be part of the equation. And we talk about with our staff and we just got a new president at Houghton just this past year. And my coaches were real curious as to what the new president would feel about athletics. And when our new president made the comment to me about, I'm all about being competitive, but I want to win. And I relayed that to our coaches. They want to hear that. They like that because they all want to win. And so that's part of the equation for sure. We actually finished this past fall in our conference Director's Cup. We finished third in the conference. And I think that's the highest we've been in recent years. Now, that's just for the fall sports. We've still got our winter and spring sports to go through. And so we'll see where we end up at the end of the year. But, we felt pretty good about that move. That's the best we've finished in a while. So, winning and losing, winning is part of the equation. And we talk about that. But it's obviously not everything. And our team GPAs in terms of how our athletes do in the classroom, obviously working in higher education, that's got to be a big part of it. And so we consistently here at Houghton, our teams consistently perform better than the general student body as a whole. So that's something we always sort of pride ourselves on, that our student athletes are good students first. And that's got to be part of the equation. One of the things I always used to say when I was a head coach was that my greatest wish, my greatest desire is that the young men that come through our program that I was coaching would sort of come out of the program being just a little bit better prepared to be better employees, better husbands, better dads. The vast majority of that preparation, comes from their parents and other experiences, but being part of the athletic program is one small nugget of their experience in college during a time of some pretty formative years of sort of coming to your own convictions and so forth. And my hope was always that that piece would become really relevant and be seen sort of at the end of these 4 years or 5 years, whatever it takes you to get through, you'll just be a better human being as a result of being part of our program. And then ultimately, Brandon, I mean, our spiritual growth and, we're talking at the beginning, you're talking about king chasing a little bit later. I know that's our ultimate goal is to see young men and women, grow closer in their relationship with Christ as part of the athletic context that we're creating. And so the culture, the context in which we're creating is really done in such a way to facilitate that for our student athletes. Within the context of trying to play every game to win it. I mean, if you're not trying to win every game and you're just going out there for kicks and giggles, well, we can do that without running an intercollegiate program. So it's within that context that we're trying to do all those things. And, our hope is that they take away life lessons, conflict management, dealing with disappointment, dealing with success, being disciplined, that being in athletics helps facilitate learning in those areas. So, that's maybe a big answer to, it's not a simple answer to how do you define success? It encapsulates sort of all those things, I think.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. When you were the men's soccer coach, you worked under the direction of NCCAA Hall of Famer Skip Lord. How important was that in your development as a leader to have someone like Skip to be able to learn under?
Yeah. Well, first of all, big shoes to fill. big shoes to fill for sure. And Skip was a longtime athletic director, longtime administrator, here at Houghton that I had the opportunity to work for a number of years. And so, I learned a lot from Skip. Probably one of the best things is Skip is still in town and still at Houghton, just working in a different capacity. But I would say not a month goes by, probably not weekly, but definitely monthly, where I'm not reaching out to Skip and asking him some questions and, Skip, what should I do with this situation? And there's just a lot of wisdom and insight that he provides still. But he modeled, you know, a lot of things. The ultimate professional, you know, attention to detail. And it's sort of interesting as things evolve or as things come up in my role. I find myself saying, "Ooh, I never thought that would arise." But then I thought, well, I can remember how Skip dealt with something similar to this. And so he's just been a good role model to follow. And I feel very inadequate many, many days to sort of think that I'm filling his shoes and following Skip, because he's a hard act to follow. But he's been such a good example and is super supportive. And the fact that he's still here, I think, is kind of an unusual dynamic, probably for a lot of folks to have had that relationship with their previous boss, who's now still there and is just willing to help and do whatever, you know, when I need things. So he's just been a great resource. Yeah,
that's great. So sports ministry and character development have long been a hallmark of Houghton's athletic department, something Skip helped build while he was there. Now, when the NCCA's King Chasing program launched in 2021, I know Houghton, yourself, your president, immediately bought into it. What was it about King Chasing that made your administration basically say, "We're all in"?
It was easy. I mean, when I first saw it, one, the name was sort of catchy. I liked the, you know, I liked the name that I suspect you came up with, Brandon. but it resonated with me a lot from the perspective of the pursuit of excellence. We talk about being excellent a lot at Houghton. And we actually had shirts made for all of our athletes this past year. And we put on the back of the shirt, "Perfect Unity," which is a phrase that comes right from Scripture. And I really paused and thought a lot about putting that on there. You know, can we really be perfect in unity? Can we really be excellent? Because we're flawed, we're broken, we're sinners, you know, we're going to make mistakes. And I became more convicted that it wasn't about actually being those things. It's about the pursuit. It's kind of like as Christians, like, we're never going to be the perfect Christian. We're never going to be exactly like Christ because we're not Christ. But the pursuit of that, I think, is what we're called to as Christians. So this idea of chasing the King, pursuing the King, just really resonated with me and sort of my vision for what we want to be and how we, you know, continue to evolve and build in sort of our sports ministry history and tradition and, you know, foundation that Skip was a big part of, sort of laying that, you know, in his tenure as AD, but even obviously it even started before Skip. But and when I looked at, you know, all the details of, you know, the points you can earn for being in the, for doing the program, and really it's not about the points and, you know, seeking, you know, a prize at the end. But as I looked through all of these things, so much of it's about being others focused, which is something that I've always leaned on and a phrase I've used quite a bit with teams that I've coached. But a lot of it was stuff that we just already do. And it just, like, it just fit. And it was one of these things where it helped give a framework or sort of a concise, a clear umbrella under which, you know, a lot of the service projects that our teams do and community service kinds of things, or, you know, our pursuit of excellence in the classroom and those kinds of things. It just made sense. You know, you guys at the national office had created, you know, just some really eye-catching visuals, and, you know, we've taken all the work that you've done and we've plastered that in our offices, so we've just bought into it. It was, again, it was pretty easy. There wasn't anything in there that wasn't something we already aspired to. There might've been a few things in there that are extras that we weren't already doing that we're working on now, but it just encapsulated a lot of who we already were. And so it was easy. It was an easy buy-in.
So what are some ways that you've incorporated King Chasing in your athletic department at Houghton?
Yeah, so we talked about it and introduced the King Chasing model to all of our student athletes at the beginning of the year. We used one of the devotionals that Dan Wood did. You guys created four videos of the four quadrants, and we showed the love one to our student athletes. I've used all of the videos as part of our devotional series that we do, in our staff. So all of our staff have seen all of Dan's videos, and they're getting to know Dan Wood really well as part of it. So we've just used the resources that you've helped create. And one of the things we made posters isn't the right word, but 8.5 by 11, whatever printouts of your program. And many of our coaches have sort of posted those in their offices. And so it's a visual as well as a reminder of just a framework and a construct from which, as they prepare things that they're going to share with the team or devotions, I know we're using those resources some. So we're tracking all of our service projects. So one of the things in there is, service. And I knew we did that, but we sort of did it, I don't want to say haphazardly, but every coach, every program sort of was just doing their own thing. And we knew stuff was happening. But we're tracking that now, which has sort of opened my eyes a little bit to, good grief, our student athletes are doing a lot. We're raking leaves for folks in the community. We're delivering meals to these people. We're just a multitude of a variety of things that our kids are doing, which is just great. But it's sort of providing this framework for, hey, we can capture that and share that with others, and not to toot our own horn that we're doing all these things, but just, and it helps provide sort of a context for talking with our athletes about why we do these things. We're not just delivering meals to an elderly family because we want recognition for that. It gives a context for why we do those things. So, I'd say the one thing that we're doing, and we actually just talked about it last week in our staff meeting, is reaching out to our peers. So for me, an AD at another institution or a couple different institutions, to be praying for them. And so we hadn't really done that in the fall, and we're now doing that over the next couple of weeks. So all of our coaches are identifying folks that they're going to reach out to and communicate with, and just let them know we're praying for them. And so I've already identified who I'm going to be reaching out to. Haven't done it yet. I'm not going to say it here on this to make that public, but that right there is an others focused initiative that for some is probably going to be a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And for others, it's right in their wheelhouse of something that would already do. But I think it's a really, really good practice and opportunity to be focused on somebody else and praying for somebody. So
I love that. What's been the feedback from your coaches and student athletes with this rollout of King Chasing?
Yeah, well, I think it's helped give structure like I've said already, context to what we're doing. So it's been very positively received. I mean, I'm not sure how you could negatively receive, this. I suppose somebody could be critical of the idea that it's a competition and we're earning points for a scholarship, but that's not why we're doing it. I mean, I would just be thrilled at the end of the year to see a whole bunch of institutions have done this, and that would be great. I think it's been positively received. Like I said, our coaches have posted it in their offices. Most of them have anyway. Again, it's really more of a reinforcement and maybe even just a support structure for what we're already doing for the most part. So it just gives more of an emphasis of this is why we do what we do. Like, this is why being a Christian and in athletics is really, really important. It's been positively received.
How important do you think it is for Christian colleges to keep their athletic program grounded in faith, whether they utilize King Chasing or do it through some other means?
Oh, I think it's imperative. I mean, I think probably more so today than ever before. The culture we live in, our society, just presents so many challenges of how to do things. And I think we are called to do things the right way. I used to talk with our players about the ethics of sport and what society says is okay, but really, is it okay as a Christian? You were a soccer player, Brandon. I mean, how many times you see the ball goes out of bounds And basketball does this too. And so, the ball goes out of bounds, and there's basketball, for example. There's five guys that are pointing, it should be this way. And there's five other guys that are pointing, it should be this way. But I would say 99% of the time, there's somebody on the floor that knows 100% the ball went out on me. Or I even used to say in soccer, in my early years of coaching, I said, hey, the ball goes out of bounds for a throw-in. Go over and grab it and act like it's ours. Because it's hard for the official to really see that. That's not always easy to see. There's one official, there's an AR, but it's not always easy to see. But if you act like it's our throw-in, maybe we'll get it. Well, man, I became convicted about that a few years into my coaching. Like, well, that's not right. Like, if you know it went off your foot, don't go grab the ball and pretend that it's ours. I mean, that becomes an issue of integrity and an integral sort of thing, which in the world of sport is totally acceptable, right? Do whatever it takes to win. If you don't get caught, that's acceptable. That's you gained an advantage. And we need to do it differently. We as Christians need to do it the right way. And what the right way is, I suppose there's probably some gray area and certain things, I suppose, but I think, we need to look different. And we talk about that as a program. What does that look like? What does different look like on the soccer field, on the track, on the tennis court? Very practically, what does different look like? The ideas of sports ministry, which is something we're so firmly grounded in, we just see sport as an opportunity to show Christ. God's given all of us different gifts. And so in athletics, for our athletes, he's gifted our kids with the ability to run fast, jump high, skill develop, whatever it is. And playing the game's an opportunity to sort of give back to God. And we had a former coach, he's no longer here, but he used to talk all the time about the field being an altar. And so for a soccer game, for example, for 90 minutes, it's an opportunity to give back to God on the altar what he's gifted you with, your physical abilities. We said too, and this is something from Skip Lord, he used to talk about this, and we continue to talk about it, is every time we play a game, it's an opportunity to represent Christ to those we play with, to those we play against, to those we play in front of. So our teammates, our coaches, those are the ones we're playing with, our opponents, the ones we're playing against, and then who we play in front of, our fans, officials, anyone else who's watching the game. Then at the end of the game, we used to sort of joke about we want people to come in and play us, and we want to beat the snot out of them in the game. We want to win the game, and we hope our opponent leaves and says, boy, that was a great experience. We just got beat by Houghton College, but man, there was something different about how they did that, and that was just a great experience. And so that's hard to do. I mean, that's not easy to do because, again, we're human, we're weak, we're broken, and do we do everything perfect in every game we play? No. But the idea of king chasing, the pursuit of excellence, we want to be pursuing those things. So I just think today the call and the challenge for higher ed, in higher ed, for Christian higher ed institutions to be grounded and to be Christian, is maybe more important now than ever before.
That's great. Transitioning to one final question. I know you're a Bills fan.
Go Bills.
And you let me know you were actually in attendance for their last regular season game. They clinched the division, I believe.
They did.
So I'm curious, how far do you think this team can go this year?
Oh boy.
Truthfully.
Well, I'd like to say all the way. I mean, I think they've got the pieces to do that, but you look over the course of the season, we had some inconsistency. I mean, we lost to Jacksonville, worst team in the league. But we finished strong. I mean, last few games we've finished well. Josh Allen he didn't have a great game against the Jets, but they only accumulated a total of, I think, 53 total yards from scrimmage. So didn't have to have a great game to win that game, I suppose.
Right.
So I think we can. Although it's funny, I was sitting in the stands, and a friend of mine who was at the game with me, you know, we're watching the Patriots game also, because, and we'd figured, you know, the Patriots have just been our nemesis in the AFC East for years. I think we're the better team this year, but we split with them during the season. They beat us at our place. We beat them up at their place. And that's who we play in the first round. But we were watching all the results and playing out all the scenarios, and it became apparent that if we win and the Patriots win, we host the Patriots. If we lose and the Patriots lose, I think the scenario was we would have hosted somebody else. Like, it turns out it might have been the Raiders, or I don't know who we would have hosted. So there was this sense of, if we win and the Patriots lose, we'd host the Patriots. So we were kind of watching the Patriots. Looks like they're going to lose to the Dolphins. And we're sort of sitting there like, maybe we should throw the game so we don't have to play the Patriots in the first round. So, I mean, I think we're the better team. I'm hopeful. I'm like, you got to beat the Patriots at some point. Anybody, you got to beat good teams. So I guess why not in the first round at home? But, you know, I just think it's probably more a psychological hurdle than anything else is going up against the Patriots. So the funny thing is I used to be a Patriots fan because I lived in Boston when I was a kid. And so for many years I was a Patriots fan, but I've lived here long enough now that I've transitioned. I'm fully in for the Bills. So,
well, I don't know that I would have invited you on this show if you were still a Patriots fan.
Well, I used to. So for many years living here, I was a Bills fan during the regular season, because they never were going to make the playoffs.
Right.
And so it was fine. I could be a Bills fan during the regular season, and then come playoffs, I'd shift to the Patriots, because the Patriots were always in the playoffs with Brady and all that. So we're just so how far do I really think we can go? I think we could go all the way. I think we've got the pieces, but I think it's a matter of, can we be consistent? And who knows? So let me follow up with a question for you. What are the Ravens doing now?
Well, we're sitting home watching the playoffs.
There you go.
So, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I was going to say that I might be rooting for the Bills, but now after that, I just don't know that I can do it.
Well, I was going to ask you, who are you rooting for now?
I don't know. Still to be determined. Possibly the Bills. I don't know. Definitely not Brady, not the Chiefs, not the Steelers.
You didn't even say not the Bucks. It was just not Brady.
Oh, not Brady. Anything Brady's on, not Brady.
Oh, goodness.
But, well, this has been fun. Thanks, Matt, for joining us today on King Chasing. And enjoy the winter up in Houghton, New York.
Thanks, Brandon. Good to be here.
Thanks again to Matt for sharing some of his journey as a leader, the importance of a mentor, and how he's helped implement the King Chasing program at Houghton College. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate if you encourage others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.